Puchorian from Romania. His subject is Before Destruction. Before Destruction, Brother Puchorian.
Thank you, Brother Len. Dearly beloved, my wife and I are very happy to participate in this international convention and be among so many friends and brethren here in Baia Mare, Romania. We thank our great Creator, Jehovah God, for keeping us alive and giving us the opportunity to be together at this beautiful convention this year. I am thinking now of many of our beloved who cannot attend this gathering for various reasons. Some have gone to their reward. Some are ill, and others are very old and without strength, although they are all here with us in spirit. The title of my lesson, Before Destruction, is from words found in the book of Proverbs. Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. The natural man thinks having pride is a virtue that can be achieved through dignity and confidence in his own qualities. That is the first definition found in the Romanian dictionary. This is the second. To be proud means to boast, to swagger, to be arrogant. Those in the world who live without the Spirit of God follow these principles, which come from the prince of this world, whose spirit rules the minds of people today. Let us look into God's book and see how He sees this vice, pride. This is also the view of the Holy Scriptures. It is a vice that produces unhappiness. The prophet David wrote, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of Jehovah is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in Him." Psalm 18:30. So, we can be sure that those who trust in God and His Word for improvement can see that pride is not acceptable to God. It is condemned, and all who have pride will likewise be condemned. Let us read in the Bible how God looks at those who nourish and develop pride in their behavior. Moses wrote these words in Deuteronomy 17:12-13. The man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that stands to minister there before Jehovah thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. God, who cannot tolerate pride, punished even the nations who nourished such a ruinous sentiment among themselves. About the first world empire, Babylon, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty, pr- pride of the Chaldees. Excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah 13:19. In this verse, Bible students understand that pride will be destroyed from among the nations during the time of trouble, so that the nations will be humiliated and ready to accept the new arrangement of things through a new mediator. There are many warnings against pride in the New Testament. The Apostle James wrote, "God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble." James 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul, who was second only to our Lord Jesus as a servant, said that by grace he was able to work more than the other apostles. He wrote, "Lest I should be exalted, prideful, above measure to the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." 2 Corinthians 12:7. We observe that the great Creator tells us that pride leads to destruction. It causes unhappiness within every human being who nurtures and develops it. But how does pride lead to destruction? Let us look at Lucifer, the son of the morning, to see how pride took him down the road to destruction. He wanted to be higher than where God created him. This made him look for opportunities to do something to improve his situation. We see from the scriptures how he worked against the great Creator. This road of pride on which the opponent of God and man traveled is described by the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 14, verse 12 and 15 of Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Isaiah 14, 12 and 15. More than this, if Mother Eve were truly humble, she would have said when tempted, I will not listen to this suggestion to obey my Creator. He knows that it's best for me. So therefore, I will obey him who knows all things. In contrast to Satan, our Lord Jesus did not manifest pride. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 6, 7, 9, and 10, who being in the form of God, thought not by robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Satan came to tempt our Lord, suggesting that he not listen to the Father, but follow a different way to save mankind. But our beloved Lord was so humble that he never thought to disobey his Father. Our Lord's followers are also tempted to develop pride in a similar way as our Lord. Sometimes we might feel we have a beautiful family, raised in the truth, and are inclined to say, I am proud of my family. Sometimes we might feel the Lord gave us some material advantages. We could manifest pride by comparing ourselves to others and feeling we are above them and be proud of that. Instead of saying, I am proud of my family, we should say that we are grateful to the Lord, following the advice of the Apostle in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why do thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Why do we think that the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church? 1 Corinthians 4:7. We think the Apostle observed among brethren a tendency towards self-exaltation, which actually is nothing but a sign of the sin of pride. The psalmist wrote, For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Psalm 75, verse 6, 6 and 7. If a brother is not chosen to be a servant of an ecclesia, he should be satisfied in that situation, thinking that the Lord wants to give him a lesson through this experience. He should tell himself, perhaps the Lord sees something in me that he does not like, so I should remain humble without trying to determine who in the ecclesia did not vote for me. This is well stated by the Apostle Paul. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12:18. So our great Creator oversees the church, and he, as the great husbandman, makes the right prunings. It is written, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:5. Here is a comment from a 1903 Watchtower, page 3231. One of the severe ordeals of the new creature is the conquering of the love of the spirit of worldliness under the leadership of pride. Worldly pride challenges faith in God and obedience to Him, and only those who are of good courage and full of confidence in the Lord can overcome this giant. It is necessary, too, that the victory should be made complete, that pride should be thoroughly humiliated, killed, so that it can never rise up again to destroy us. It is an individual battle, and the only proper armament against this giant is a stone from the brook, the message of the Lord, showing us what is pleasing and acceptable in His sight, and assuring us that he that humbles himself shall be exalted, and he that exalts himself shall be abased. As the poet has expressed it, where boasting ends, true dignity begins. In a 1903 watchtower, we read, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear Jehovah, and depart from evil." Proverbs 3:7. Nothing is more dangerous to the child of God than self-conceit. This completely stops true progress and development. It hinders reformation of heart, as well as true usefulness to others, and especially usefulness in God's service. For the word declares, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Instead of trusting in ourselves, the best advice to follow is to not trust in ourselves, remembering our weaknesses and imperfections. Let us honor God and put our trust in Him, which will help us like nothing else to depart from the evil that is in our fallen nature. There could exist another kind of pride among those who proclaim the truth publicly. Instead of glorifying God, they may preach themselves. At the same time, we might show in public how well we know the scriptures and thus influence the public so they say that we are true diggers in the scriptures. This resembles the attitude of Moses, the meekest man on the face of the earth, who honored God until a spirit of pride appeared. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" In Numbers 20, verse 10. Someone said that at that moment, Moses was not the meekest man on the face of the earth. He was the proudest man. This is how we would feel if pride takes hold of us. Satan, the artisan of pride, may suggest that we cannot have full trust in the servants God has used to lead His people into the light, now seen at the end of this age. He might move some from being good students and listeners, even the best and the brightest, to challenge the light already received. The Apostle Paul tells us how Satan acts. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. But why would Satan transform himself into an angel of light? Of course, the reason is to lead us to a false light. And here, I would like to quote from the foreword of Volume 1, Studies in the Scriptures. "The great adversary, of course, has no love for anything which opens the eyes of God's people, increases their reverence for God's book, and breaks their reliance upon human creeds." The great adversary, therefore, as we might have expected, is very much opposed to this book. Few realize Satan's power and cunning. Few you realize the meaning of the apostles' words in respect to this prince of darkness, who transforms himself into a minister of light in order to fight the truth and destroy its influence. Few realize that our wily adversary seeks to use the best, the most energetic, the most influential of God's people to hinder the shining of the light and to keep the divine plan of the ages away from the people. And is it not the same today when we can see how Satan is the same, proud of these philosophies and seeking to deceive as he did at the early dawn of mankind? Does he not cause all whom he can deceive to abandon the light brought through the Laodicean servant and returning them to the old thinking of the dark ages, but now transformed by the adversary as though it were new light? And seeing these things, how can we fight against this pride, knowing his negative influence? I think by going to the Lord in prayer and by asking his wisdom and his leadership every day and not forgetting to make an appraisal to see if the spirit of pride was among us. Soon, mankind will learn the fact that everyone who cultivates pride will be destroyed, as Moses told the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, Jehovah thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him he shall hearken. These words are mentioned by the Apostle Peter in Acts 3:19-22. Therefore, beloved, let us meditate at all times about the danger of pride, so it cannot reign in our hearts. Conversely, let us apply the golden rule, righteousness, and not think about ourselves more than it is appropriate. May God and our Lord Jesus Christ help us to be humble and to listen to his word and not add or subtract anything. Let us now return to Proverbs 16:18, its command to not cultivate pride, because it goes to destruction in the second death. May our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen.